Well, we have our special guest here.
Hello. Welcome.
Good morning, Ari.
Hello. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Sorry, I'm a few minutes late.
That's all right. No, perfect timing. Perfect. So let me introduce you, and then we can get our room started. So Irie Williams is a casting director associate who works for Kim Coleman Casting. She's LA-based, creative, and hails from Detroit. And she began and made an impact on the industry by casting and producing a lot of different projects, including some for Tyler Perry Studios, Marvel, projects for Hulu, Apple Plus, ABC, Disney, and Disney Plus. She works hard, I know, and she's very passionate about what she does and has a vision to align to make her force to be reckoned with in this industry. So welcome to our room, Irie.
Thank you so much for having me. Firstly, you know I love you. So when you asked me to come, I was like, of course. I'll reach out to the clubhouse and come on back.
I know, I dragged you back in, right?
Yep, happy to be here, though.
Good.
Yeah, so I'm not sure, did you have topics that you wanted to discuss?
It was really, you know, generally stuff about you, okay. You know, like what is the best part about the casting process that you enjoy the most? You know, like we'll get into it.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
this room is about you, Irie, okay?
Okay.
And of course we have our host Zachary. Hey Zachary, good morning.
Hello. I don't think we've had a chance to talk before. I'm Zachary Lindsay. I'm a talent manager. I'm here to share knowledge, and I love having our guests, and looking forward to a wonderful, spirited conversation about casting and the whole thing today.
Yeah, wonderful.
And of course, me, Versa Manus, your host. So welcome, everybody. And I'm really looking forward to having this conversation with you, Irie. So talk to me about the casting process that you find that you really enjoy doing, because there must be some enjoyment in the casting process, even though it's overwhelmingly difficult at times.
So my favorite part of casting is always in auditions. That's why the way how we've pivoted to self-tapes has kind of been challenging. So I love in-person auditions. I love being able to redirect people and see people hit notes and just make adjustments. Also, I think a great part of casting is when you get to let someone know, you know, that they've booked the role, especially if it's someone that you've read or been reading for years or someone that you've been secretly championing. It's great. It's an amazing feeling.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, there's such a big difference between, you know, someone taping and someone being in the room. I mean, that's what a lot of the actors are complaining about.
Yeah.
Because they miss that, you know, it kind of in-person moments where, you know, where you say, you redirect, you say, hang on, why don't you try it this way? Because sometimes, you know, the actor doesn't always see the entire picture that you're looking at. I mean, I'm sure they hit it occasionally, but... you know, you've got specific thoughts in your mind about what you're looking for in that audition,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, yeah. I do feel like it's, you know, I really feel for actors because it's definitely a disservice. Not being able to, you know, some people are just better in person. I think I'm one of those people. But, like, some people, when you see, like, when they come in the room, you feel that energy. You can bounce off their energy. They can bounce off yours. That's why I know... at some point we'll go back to in person. Some offices have started, which is great. But as of now, you just have to really try to make your energy come across on this self-tape, you know?
Yeah. And how do you do that? What would you advise, you know, actors in their self-tapes?
Honestly, just to be as authentic as possible, you know, always give at least two takes with two different options, because you don't know exactly what the casting director is looking for. As someone that watches a million tapes a week, I do like seeing little bits of people's personalities in their slates. I think that you can use your slate. You know, you don't want to be obnoxious or annoying or do too much, but just say, saying a little phrase sometimes, or just to show your personality, show humor. if you're reading for a role that has like a regional specific accent, I think it's always a good idea to keep that accent up in the slate. That's just my personal opinion. But yeah, I think just being true to you and just not being scared to go for it and just.
Do you think confidence plays a big part in that?
Oh, 1,000%. If you're not confident, we can tell. If you're not confident and you don't believe in yourself, there's really no point in trying to be an actor. You can't expect someone else to believe in you, a director, a writer, casting to portray a character, to bring a character to life when there's all these, so many people are attached to these stories and these projects. If you don't trust yourself.
Like, God, I love hearing you say that, by the way. That just makes so much sense.
Yeah. It's, I mean, especially as being an actor, I think actors have to be the most confident people because you're getting, you know, you're getting told no every day. You're getting rejected. You're not getting, you know, feedback. You put your all into a self-tape. And, you know, I'm guilty of that too. We don't have time to give everyone feedback and let you know, especially if it's a self-tape. Like, oh, you could have hit this note, or we would have liked to see this. Because a lot of times we, we don't have time to ask for a retape because especially if you guys are familiar with how we cast, like, for example, Tyler Perry projects, we move fast. We move fast like lightning. So it's sometimes that one tape is all you have. And it takes a lot, and we're calling people back for, you know, years and years until they book something. But it takes a strong person to be able to continue and to persevere and really believe in themselves and, you know, force us to believe in them. Like, okay, I didn't nail that one, but I know you see it, right? I know you see that I can do it. And I have that potential. And so, yeah, so kudos to you guys, honestly.
Yes, it takes a lot, doesn't it, actually? So what are the common mistakes that you see that, you know, that actors are doing that, you know, we can kind of elaborate a bit here so they can get an idea of what they should be doing? Because sometimes it's not because they're not good actors. Sometimes it's because that the taping process is bewildering them. And maybe if we can get some wise words of wisdom from you as to what would make their lives easier for the casting directors
For sure. Sorry to cut you off.
That's all right. It's cool.
I think my personal opinion, I think this will make your lives and our lives easier, especially when it comes to taping. Don't stress out about it so much. I really don't think, like, people get so caught up in getting, like, you know, a self-tape exactly perfect as far as, like, oh, it needs to be edited perfect. Like, as long as we can see you, as long as there's a clear background, you don't have to go to a company to do it for you. You don't have to. I mean, if you want to, it's always nice, you know, if you can afford it or if you have that available, but it's not necessary. Other mistakes would be just overthinking it. Like, sometimes you really have to just give it what you got, your interpretation, and just leave it there. Another mistake would be submitting 3+ takes, in my opinion. Some casting directors like to see, will see up to 3 takes, but I think it's too much. There's just not enough time to watch 3 takes for every person. Some actors are submitting 5-6 takes.
Oh, wow.
Can't expect me to, what if one of those is gold and the rest are garbage? I can't, I can't fully watch all of those. So it's like,
right.
Off a disservice there. And I've seen that a lot recently.
God, doesn't that make you think that they can't decide themselves? Yes. How are you going
to
decide?
That's what I was about to say. To think that they're not sure of your choices, you're not really confident, you know, and you have to be able to, like, kind of stand in it, even if it's the wrong one. Like, I do appreciate people wanting to give, you know, different types of auditions, you know, options, but it's just too much. And I think that, you know, is hurting a lot of people. I've seen it a lot lately.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? You think there's a... something going around.
I think it's just people, they don't know. Actors don't know, like, really what exactly is expected. All they have is the little breakdown that we give them. If it's a new show, they have no idea really the tone. If it's a returning show, they can, like, you know, look it up. If it's a film, same thing. Like, you don't exactly know what we're looking for. So, and you can't feel off of your choices. So say, you know, I'm reading for the role of Sasha and I know that she is, you know, confident and sarcastic and that's how I want to portray her in my audition. But really, you kind of got it wrong. And or really you don't even know if you got it wrong. So you're going to give me a bunch of different variations because you're unsure of yourself. That's kind of how I look at it. Like, you either you're giving too many options, or you're just insecure in your choices, not as confident in the choices you decide to make in your self-tape.
Right.
Wouldn't you rather see someone that was confident and made some really solid choices, even if it wasn't where you were thinking the character would be going, and then you could, yeah, give them feedback for a callback? You know, wouldn't that generate a callback for you?
Yeah, that's typically how it works. Like, if it, yeah. So say it like, yeah, if you're confident, and even if you miss the note, you know, but we see it, we'll call you back, and hey, can a redirect? Like, we still do it. That's not unheard of. I don't want you to think that, oh, it's, you do a self-tape and it's like one shot. But like, no, if we see someone that we see it in, we'll definitely call them back, even if it's off. I've happened a few times. Like, they made the wrong choice. They read it wrong. I was like, no, let's see if you take these notes, how do you apply them? And most times it makes a huge difference, which is why it just goes back to, like, we got to get people back in the room soon.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? You know, getting them back in the room, there's that interconnection between, you know, the casting director or the casting person and the actor. And I think the actors feel more alive because it's, you know, you've got the adrenaline pumping and they're more, I guess, in, you know, in their energy to be able to make all of those things come alive, you know, make the role come alive. Whereas if you're taping, you're that much removed from the process and you have to kind of fake it, really. You know, right. You can do it, but it's a different process.
Exactly.
Oops, I actually have a question. So Irie, I see that you've done both television and film. Could you share a little bit with our audience about any type of differences you'd like to share about that, either differences in your process or differences in what you look for, in anything you can share in that the differentiation of the two worlds? That'd be great.
Yeah, I feel like typically when it comes to film, we begin our process, we begin the process with like offer only, with list ideas. I feel like unless it's same for television, but more so I would say for film, just in my experience. When it comes to TV, I feel like it's easier to book someone that doesn't have as many credits, that is, you know, fresher in the game. I feel like I discover more people on TV versus film. As far as processes, though, they're pretty similar. You know, it's a story. We're looking to find the right people to bring it to life. And we just go about it, you know, very similarly. Is that what you mean, or am I missing the question?
No, that's great. I always like to offer any unique insight that people have, you know, because sometimes people's experiences are different, and I just love for the audience to have as many bits of knowledge as possible.
Sure. Yeah, not I wouldn't say just huge differences. I mean, every project is different because the team is different, the writers, the directors, producers. So some things will differ, but for the most part, it's the same. It's collaborative, it's creative, it's, you know, we're brainstorming, we're testing out ideas, then we start reading, and, you know.
Excellent. Yeah. One other question, because I know there may be some newer listeners here. I always like to have our actor listeners know kind of how the numbers break down a little bit. So for instance, what have you been noticing recently as far as the trends of how many people you're supposed to put up for any particular role? If it's something, as you said, that's more open to fresh faces or more emerging actors, you know, are you noticing that, you know, directors are wanting to see, you know, two or three options or half a dozen options, or what type of numbers are you seeing these days?
I can't speak for any other officers. I also can't really speak for any of my coworkers in my current office. But on my projects, I can't actually say this. We don't go by numbers. It's not like, oh, we're only going to see two to three options, or, oh, we need to see 50. It just depends on how large the role is, how long we have to cast it. Like, if I have time, if it's like, if I have, I'm on a project for 5 weeks and I know I have time, we can read, you know, 100 people for a role, easy. But if time is slim, then we can't read as many people because we're not going to have time to get through the tapes and really give them a fair chance and really give the process what it deserves. So it's per project basis, per role basis. There isn't really a numbers game. I will say it is crazy since the strike has started. The amount of submissions has like doubled, tripled on projects. Like I'll have, you know, I can put out a breakdown for, you know, co-star roles, guest star roles. They'll typically get like 1,500 and now they have like 3,500, 4,000 submissions.
Good Lord.
I know. And it's like, I can't, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, and it just sucks. Cause I'm always like, I just want, when I'm going through submissions, I'm like, oh, let me do another page. I just feel like the person that I want to cast is going to be on like the next page. And then it's like 3 hours later and I'm like, okay. I need to do
that. Wow. That's, yeah. Very that's interesting. A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting.
So, do you watch the reels that the actors are submitting with their auditions?
Yeah, sometimes. Not all the time, but if it's needed, yeah. I think it's great when people include them, especially when we don't ask. Like if you just have your read and then include your reel, because like we can see something. As long as it's good. I know that's hard to say, but it's I have a couple times like, click hide reel because I was like, oh, that might not help.
That's too funny. I don't know.
Why not? And like when people pitch, like when agents, you know, pitch their talent, we, you know, we take a look at the materials, the reel, and you know, sometimes if someone isn't right for this one, they'll be right for the next one. So we have, you know, every office has their internal list and databases where we keep people on ice until we're ready for them.
But that's great, actually. So how many times, you know, I mean, what is the most times you brought an actor in into the office? You know, would it be 5, 6, 10 times?
Oh, I don't know, girl. I feel like around 5. I feel like if I bring someone in around 5 times and there's like no interest or something, I don't like, I'll give them a break for a little while.
Right. I'm not
gonna keep, like, I don't want to, you know, because I know doing self tape is a lot. So maybe I'll give them a break and then try them again for something. But probably more, like, it's hard to say. I'm sure there's some people, like, I feel like I see some actors. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've definitely called you in a bunch. So it just depends. Especially if you like someone, you want them to, you know, you want to give them as many shots as possible.
Yeah, exactly. That's the idea, isn't it? It's
no
like,
cap. No cap.
Sure. So, I mean, do you look at their training, actors' training? Do you think that's important?
Sometimes. I honestly don't really look at their training as much. Like, if we're looking at the work you're submitting to us, like the reels you're sending, the auditions, the actual tapes you're doing. Like if you kill your audition, me personally, I don't really care what your training is. If you've done an amazing job, I love trained actors, and you know, majority of the people that we read are trained actors because most agents and managers are only, you know, for the most part, that's what they're looking for. But no, I we look at resumes and stuff, but I wouldn't say that that's ever been a determining factor.
Right. So we have Tamika up here.
Hey, Tamika.
Hi, Tamika.
Everybody.
Hi.
I just want to say first, good morning to everyone in the room. And, you know, you guys have called me in a bunch, and I am always eternally grateful for it. I feel like I've kind of been on the radar for a couple of years, and you know, it's, if I'm not booking the job, I feel like I'm booking the room, and correct me if I'm wrong, but no. That has been my experience, and I am grateful for it. So yeah, thank you.
No problem. You're one of the faces. I was like, oh yeah, I know Tamika. And I also know I've definitely like watched your self tape a million times. I feel.
Thank you. I love that. But I also want to know, do you go see theater?
I do. Yeah, I just saw a Soldier's Play. Like, that was so good.
Yeah, I want to go see that. That's on my list for sure.
Go see it, you guys. Don't walk, run. I was like, wow.
I've heard it's amazing. I'm so excited. And I'm opening a show this weekend at The Fountain, and I would love to invite you to it. Oh my God. Last Summer at Bluefish Cove, and I'm really quite proud of this, so I would love for you to come check it out on me.
Yeah, will you send me an email?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. Cool, cool, cool. Well, okay. Thank you so much, and congratulations.
Thank you. And thank you, Versa, for having her and having in this room. This is awesome. What a great way to start my Friday.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Happy to help. And thank you. Keep going, girl. I'm like, you have a bright future ahead of you, for sure. Oh,
thank you.
That's
thank
what you. I keep thank saying.
Say it again.
I love that.
Thank you so much, you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Tamika. Thanks. Lisa, bye-bye. Actually, Tex was first. Tex, are you there?
Hey, greetings. Thank you for the space. I'm wondering if Sister Irie is aware of and people in the casting industry in general are aware of the growing discontent among Black American audiences with virtually unknown actors of non-Black American lineage getting like once in a lifetime roles playing our icons, like, and it's very perpetual. Are you aware of that new, the dynamic?
I'm aware of the conversation around it for sure. I worked on the season Genius Aretha, starring Cynthia Erivo, and there was some backlash because she is a Brit playing an American. And I mean, I understand why people feel like that, but also people, you know, get booked for because they're the right person for the role. Like, she had the voice, what they were looking for, so I understand that. But I understand why you and a lot of, you know, Black Americans would feel like that. I myself have felt like that in the past, and since seeing how the process works, it's not as simple as that.
Yes, I just wanted to know if you were aware of the situation, because I think
I'm on Twitter.
Yeah, and I think it's not just someone that is Brit. It's actually I'm sorry.
Keep talking, Texas. Yeah. Fine.
I got a notification. I'm sorry, on my Forex account. It's more than just a Brit, because in the case of Cynthia Erivo, we have seen very anti-Black American leaning from her and her cadre. And so it's not just that she was a Brit, right? It's just that she has some very anti-Black American leanings and very very negative tropes that she was repeating on Twitter. Yeah.
I remember when that happened. I was like, that was a while ago. I just addressed it. She apologized. Just like the she had a couple bad tweets, and I feel like you don't have to support it. I wouldn't say, I don't think it's becoming a problem as far as, and I don't think there are many other Black actors that are, you know, playing African American roles and are talking bad about the culture. I feel like that was like a one-time thing. And I know it was addressed way back when. And I don't think we should, you know, still hang on to that. I think that our stories need to be told in the best way possible.
And you know that.
Yes.
Sorry,
Tex. I just want to say, I think we get lost sometimes, and I think it's really the best person for the role. You know, there's a lot of arguments with a lot of things, and, you know, exactly what I was saying, you know, she had the right voice, she had the right energy, the right spirit to it all, and it makes sense. And that's, I think we dig in way too deep sometimes. And yeah. I think I understand and I appreciate your concerns, and I want to definitely validate that, but I also think, you know, we're getting a bit too nitpicky with everything. And I think we need to just take a step back and let the flow of business continue, you know. And there's a lot of Americans that go to the UK and so on. There's, I mean, it works on both sides. It's not just one-sided, you know?
Yeah, I think people, like the general audience, also forget that this is a movie business. So sometimes it's, you know, there's a lot more than just, oh, this person's, you know, UK, maybe, or they're not of, you know, African-American descent, but maybe they, you know, this business deals have done, maybe they were attached, maybe they personally loved the story and wanted to portray it. You know, you just never know. There's so much that goes on the back end.
Well, respectfully, I'm telling you that this is not just some one-off thing. This is continually happening, and it's happening with like once-in-a-lifetime roles and iconic figures, the Black American figure, that each and every time a movie is made on one of our icons, it's never a Black American playing a role. So it's not.
I think that's kind of
respectfully,
that's a generalized statement. With all due respect, that sounds ridiculous. I wouldn't say every single person. I understand what you're saying, and I know exactly where you're coming from. Like I said, I'm familiar with this conversation.
I think I'm here as like a messenger to tell you what's going on. Like if you can ignore it if you want and think it doesn't matter, but I'm telling you right now, you can attribute this phenomenon to the financial failure of movies like Whitney and Harriet. This is a movement that we have here, and we're standing up for ourselves. And like I said, if it was just a role, but it's just not a role, it's an iconic role.
Right. So that's Cynthia Erivo. So I understand you have an issue with Cynthia Erivo. I get that. And I understand, and I'm not invalidating your concerns, and they're not being ignored. So thank you for
yeah.
Thank
yeah. You. I think we've discussed this. Thanks, Tex. I'm going to move on to Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hello. Can you hear
Hi.
Me?
Yes.
Super wonderful. First of all, am I hearing correctly? You're from Detroit?
Yes, I
so
am.
Let me just give you the fellow what up though salute. I'm like, that's the proper Detroit hello. So what up though? And yes, I'm on location filming, so the signal is really bad, so forgive me if I'm going in and out or if I'm going to ask a question that you already touched on. But how do you even get on the radar? Do you look at the pictures first and say, okay, that person, he or she looks like somebody who would be good for a number of roles, and then you start calling them? Or, you know, after how many submissions does a manager or your agent submit before you say, okay, I keep seeing this name pop up, so let me just give this person a chance to audition. How does that work?
So when it comes to just like setting up actors, yeah, we like going through the breakdown, all we really are looking at is the headshots. Like, oh, this person looks like they could do it. This person looks like they might, you know, fit the role. When it comes to pitches, if we have a relationship with that manager or agent, we definitely kind of take their pitches into consideration probably more seriously. But also, people, you know, a lot of people are persistent. Like, there are agents where I'm like, oh my gosh, you are annoying. Fine, I'll read them. And then I read their talent and they're great. So it just really, it depends, because not all casting directors are like that. Like, some casting directors don't like being bothered with pitches. Some enjoy it. Like, I know Kim loves pitches. Like, when we were in the office, Kim Coleman, we would just print them out for her for every project, and then she'd go through them. No matter if it's a big agency or, you know, just a manager, a small agency, it doesn't matter. So, pitches, I always say pitch. Get pitched. Tell your reps to pitch you.
So, you like pitches? Do you like pitch?
I do. Pitched? I have a little folder. I put them all. You know, I put them all.
Great. Note to everybody, pitch the hell out of you. So,
that works. But, you know, everything's so slow right now, too. So I feel like it's a good time to have people sending, you know, setting up generals with you know, your favorite casting offices, trying to just, you know, get on their radar on this downtime, because most people are pretty slow right now.
Well, wow. Thank you so much. That helps a lot. I appreciate it.
Have fun on set.
Thank you.
That's what we're going to be doing, pitching and persisting. That's my new line, pitching and persisting.
Because it does work. Like, even it does work. Like, oh my God, they're so annoying. I'm like, let me just read your talent so you leave me alone.
Absolutely.
And it's also, just shows that they're doing their job. So.
Absolutely.
So it's really important to have a rep that like really believes in you.
It helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, so much. So I'm like, okay, fine. You see something.
Maybe you need to see it too, right? So what do you think are the challenges of your job, Irene?
I feel like the challenges of my job, it takes a lot of energy to cast a project. And I feel like casting directors or like casting, it's just a thankless job. We're the first people, you know, that hire someone, and most times the last person thanked, if thanked at all. It's just not as pretty as people think it is, I think. But it's also so rewarding, and I love it. And I never even imagined myself having this job, so I'm just so grateful that I do. I don't know. It's just there's pros and cons to any job, you know.
So how did you start becoming a casting director?
I was working on a web series with some friends, and I was a PA on this web series, and then I ended up being asked to help the casting director because I was familiar with like LA casting websites and stuff and Backstage, and then I really liked it, and she decided she didn't want to cast the web series anymore, so I took over, and after that I started casting anything and everything until I ended up at Call of Niccolo casting, and that's kind of like where I started my casting career.
Wow, that's great. And then you got hooked, right?
Yeah, then it was over. I was like, wow.
It was over.
I was like, this is so much fun, so exciting.
Unbelievable. Obinine, we've got Obinine, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Morning. It's afternoon, okay, I'm in New York, so hold it down in the New York side. Nice to meet you, Irene. Lovely to see you again, Marissa and Zachary and everyone in the room. Thank you for, you know, giving up your time on a Friday. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
My question was answered by someone else. So a secondary question is with, I know, like Kim Coleman and your casting office, like they do, you know, cast across the country. So now that we're in the era of self-tapes, how would you say your office works in terms of when it comes to like co-stars? And I know some guest stars are becoming co-star level. When it comes to hiring people who are not necessarily in the area, like a Tyler Perry show, like if you're not in Atlanta, but you can work local hire, like how has your office been dealing with that?
So for Tyler Perry projects, if you guys are familiar, Tyler Perry Productions are their own thing, their own processes. So for co-star guest stars, you can be based anywhere because they travel co-stars. Like if we're reading the role, we'll travel you. You don't have to be ATL based because they have Tyler Perry has in-house casting, local casting. That's Raven Drummer's office, if you guys are familiar. So if she's reading you, then those roles are local, like they're not going to travel those. But if we're reading those roles, then that means that we're reading anywhere besides the Southeast. And then she's reading everyone in the Southeast that can be cast as a local hire. Now for other projects, it just depends on the budget. Like, are they traveling these roles? Is there in budget to travel? If so, then we can release the breakdown anywhere because it's self-tape. But if not, then we release typically in LA, or if we release nationally, then we put in the breakdown like must be LA hire. So that means you have a place to stay in LA. That means you are not going to be asking for airfare. You don't get per diem. So that's a whole thing. And we don't typically like to do that because we don't want anyone having to put themselves up and you know, spend money for an opportunity. But sometimes you can't prevent that because people and agents will pitch someone as LA local, New York local, and they're not. So yeah. But I feel like because of the self-tape, it doesn't really limit as much as it used to.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's wonderful. Can I ask a follow-up question if possible?
Yeah, for sure.
So when it does come, I guess it's like kind of related to the last question in terms of talent that maybe you haven't seen or like has been submitted but hasn't auditioned or anything. When it comes to like, so I know you said you don't always look at reels, but if you see somebody who's like, maybe not right for this co-star, but they have like a certain look, do you kind of like do more investigation kind of on your off time of like,
For sure. There's so many, I have so many people. I look up Instagram. I Google people. I look up TikToks. You know, sometimes you're just interested. Like, okay, I like what they gave. It didn't work here, but, you know, there's always, we have so many projects. Like, Kim's office is really busy, and then I'm busy too, like, with indie shorts, stuff like that, commercials, music videos. So you just, you know, and people want to work, so why not? Like I said, I have, like, a whole folder with, like, thousands of pitches and separating to ideas for later. So, and most casting professionals do.
Awesome. Yeah. Ready to go. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you. Thank you so much, and have a lovely day.
You too. Thank you so much for hopping in.
Thank you, Ebony. So, Devin, good morning.
Good morning, Versa. Thank you for hosting this room, and good morning to everybody in this room. And Ivory, Kim Coleman, casting, great casting office. I am located in New York. I've been, I guess, trying to crack the door on Kim Coleman. You guys do intensives. Let's say that you know we've never met. How can I guess we start that relationship? And yeah, you guys do classes, intensives.
No, we don't do that. We typically don't really have time for that. And now that we have some downtime, I know I think we're all going to probably travel, take vacations that we haven't taken in a long time. But we do general meetings. You would have like your rep set up. You're also welcome to shoot me an email. You know, sometimes I'll hop on Zoom with people and just to give some advice, answer some questions, because I really do enjoy helping you guys. And I feel like there's a lot of gatekeeping in our industry. So I try to avoid that and try to work against that. So I'm down. If you want to, you can look up my IMDb and get my email and shoot me an email. And do you have an agent or a manager?
So my representation is kind of skewed.
I can't. You were right sorry. You're breaking up.
I'm seeking representation. I'm sorry. I'm driving. I'm seeking representation. Okay. I just literally came from an agent. I just literally came from an agent audition. But is it okay to send the reel over to
you? Yeah, for sure. You can send. Yeah. So I'm not speaking for anyone else, but you can send it to me, and I'll take a look at it.
Excellent. Cool. All right. Great. Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So, Ari, do you think that there are some roles that are difficult to cast than others, that there seems to be sort of they're harder because of the type of role, I guess?
I think any role that has that involves like nudity or like just anything that's more mature is harder and takes more care, because like we have to be, you know, you have to be really cognizant that every actor is going to be comfortable. With a lot of Tyler Perry stuff, there are like more like some mature roles that require like sexuality, simulated sexual situations, nudity. So stuff like that is always harder, because you want to just, again, make sure that you're being really transparent in the breakdown. Make sure the sides include, you know, something that would like give a sense of what is required for the role. So I feel like those roles are always, you know, you cast those just a bit more gingerly. But other than that, no, because we, you know, every role, every character, we have so many ideas. It's what we love to do. So I wouldn't say like the casting is always like the fun part.
Right. Absolutely. So what's up with, you know, I mean, some casting directors are giving people 10, 12 pages, 14 pages. We had 18 pages the other day and they wanted it the next day. And I had a heart attack. I'm like, oh my God, that's just overwhelming.
No, you know? That's ridiculous. And they should be ashamed of themselves. 18 pages with a 24-hour turnaround is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, we had another one that was 10 pages, and they wanted it back in 4 hours.
Oh, no.
Like, okay, I get it. You know, you would be professional, but you also want them to do a good job, you know?
I mean, I understand, like, rush castings, but that's if you have something like that, they need to cut it down.
Yeah.
Like, my advice would be, if you guys get into that type of situation again, and it's like 4 hours or 24, like look at the scenes, pick the best one, and just do one scene.
Oh, I love that advice. That's great.
I would rather kill one scene or see one scene like, okay, they ate that, than you're on book for 18 pages. It feels rushed. You clearly didn't have time to prepare. Like, just focus on what you can.
Absolutely. So what advice would you give someone if they wanted to become a casting person? What advice would you give them? How would they go about? Do you welcome readers, as a step into that role?
I'm not familiar with how readers, I don't know that pathway, that trajectory to casting. The way I did it and how I would recommend would be just to get some casting. If you want to get into casting, get casting experience on student films, indie shorts, any way you can, and then apply to a casting office. And the easiest way to do that is to go to CSA, their website, subscribe to their mailing list, because they post casting jobs directly from the casting directors. And that's kind of how I found my first couple jobs.
Oh, that's fantastic advice.
I know. People don't try anything. You gotta figure it out.
That's why I love you. You're the best, you know.
Cold,
oh my goodness.
You're the best.
So, I mean, are there any, do you have any kind of interesting stories you can tell us? Any celebrity encounters that you've had that were, interesting, funny?
I've had a few. Let's see. There was, because there's been so much going on with his health, I met Jamie Foxx once. And it was, we did like a session at Netflix, and there was an assistant, not like a casting assistant, but someone at Netflix was like kind of complaining about him and saying how he was like stuck up and blah, blah, blah. So I was like,
oh God.
So I was like preparing myself to get yelled. They're like, oh, they treat assistants like shit, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? Okay. So I'm preparing myself to get out of my feelings, like just don't speak unless spoken to, whatever. And he was the exact opposite. He was exactly like I think Jamie Foxx would be. Like, he's telling funny stories to like producers, but he's like coming over and including me in the story. He's making sure, he's asking my opinion after we read people. Just exactly, it was just so refreshing. Because I'm always very adamant about don't meet your heroes, especially in casting, because you really get disappointed.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Don't meet your heroes. I agree with you on that.
Like, people that I'm actually fans of, I like don't ever want to meet them. I don't want to be disappointed.
Exactly, and that's what happens, of course.
Mm-hmm. Also, Jake Johnson was exactly how from New Girl is exactly how you would think he is and would be in real life. Amazing. He I cast a pilot for him. I worked on a pilot for him years ago, and there was a lot of stress. The producers were mad because there was a time crunch, and we needed to cast like younger people that matched the older versions of themselves. And he like busts into the casting room, and he's upset. He's red in the face, and he's like, "You guys, if they don't look like this, send them all home. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore." And he holds up all the headshots of people waiting, and he drew like eye patches and mustaches on them. And it was just the funniest thing, just completely broke the tension. And I was like,
that is fantastic.
And it's like, if they don't look like this, send them home.
I know, isn't that the truth though?
it was just the best. But yeah, so those are two like stories that I love, because I'm like, oh. You just love when you meet someone and you, like, I was talking about that energy. And obviously when you watch these actors, you feel, like, a connection to them. So it's great when you meet someone that's, like, actually that good of a person and has that good of an energy. And especially as a casting assistant or anyone that's worked as an assistant, you know that, like, you get shat on a lot and, like, ignored. Or cause especially, like, old Hollywood, how some producers are, some directors, they just don't care. So it's always refreshing when people do.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Versa. So yeah, so that was my little story.
So what are the challenges that you face in your day to day, you know, like getting the job done? I mean, it must be overwhelming, I'm sure, because there's so many submissions, but yeah. Are there other challenges that you're confronted with?
Just like time. Not having enough time to do everything. That's really the only thing. You have to manage your time. So you gotta make sure you give everything the right amount of attention and care. Also, what other challenges? The only other thing is, like I said, like, it's a thankless job. Like, a lot of times associates and assistants aren't invited to screenings, aren't sent rap gifts, invited to rap parties, and we like slaved on it. And it's just,
God, that's awful.
It makes me so upset. But
because without you, that whole process, you know, the kind of finding the best actors, that whole thing would go away.
But they forget once that project wraps and the accolades come in and everything, they just forget. So that's like so frustrating. So that's something that needs to change.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, do you think that, the overwhelming kind of submissions that you get, you know, what is it about those headshots? You know, is it something that pops? Is there something about them that pops for you that you go, I'm going to bring this person in?
I just look at faces. I look at literally faces. Like, if your face looks interesting, if it, you know, it's not about attractiveness. It's about like seeing something or just seeing if you could fit into something. It really depends. Like, we cast so many projects, so many roles. So you're right for something.
Yeah, it is that, isn't it? I like seeing headshots where it looks like they're talking to you. There's something about them that draws you in.
Yeah. As long as it's professional, you don't have to stick to one, thing.
To stick to one thing, exactly.
Yeah, and again, everything is so subjective. So that's how I look at it. But someone else, can have a completely different perspective, completely different process.
So but it helps to have an interesting headshot, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, but also, it does, not really, just needs to look like you. That's the main thing. It just needs to look, it doesn't need to be anything crazy. It doesn't have to be super interesting. It just needs to be authentic and you're selling yourself, but also don't sell me something and then you get on the tape and I'm like, who is that? Because that's not who's in this headshot.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. I mean, for instance, somebody can, people wear wigs, they have short hair, they wear wigs, they have long hair, and they audition the opposite. If they have long hair, they may have in their headshots, they audition with short hair, or they have...
Yeah, and if it's something like that, that's not crazy. Like, just a simple hairstyle. But if it's, we'll say it's like a buzz cut, but that was like years ago and your hair is to your butt, then yeah, you should definitely do a new one. If it's like, like for Black women, we change our hair a lot. So I'm not faux locks. I'm not going to assume you have them in your tape. If you are, if you have a, just like a blowout in your audition tape, I'm not going to, or in your headshot, I'm not going to assume anything. And even if you do it, have like a certain hairstyle in your tape, especially like when it comes to Black hair, Black women hair, I'm not going to assume anything. That's why if we book you, we would ask, okay, what is your hair? Let's connect you with hair and makeup and make sure that everything is aligned. But if you have you gained a lot of weight, lost a lot of weight, gotten different tattoos, face tats, piercing, something drastic, you should definitely look like your headshot.
Yes, I think that's very important because you don't want to have that huge discrepancy between that headshot and what you really look like.
Yeah, because you're going to get called in for stuff that you don't work for.
And it's not required.
Exactly.
So is there any advice you can give actors, to help them prepare for, either an in-person audition or a tape audition? Is there any, further advice you want to give them?
Yeah, I think the only advice I can really give, not to sound corny or anything, but honestly, is just to be authentic, stand in your purpose, and make sure that this is, what you're doing, like everything you do is true to yourself. So any tape you do, any meeting you're walking into, don't try to be something. Don't try to figure out what they're looking for. If you're meeting with a casting director or an agent or a rep, literally be yourself, because that's the only way you're going to get anyone else is going to genuinely take the time to book you or rep you. And also after you audition, let it go. Don't think about it anymore. Don't hold on to anything, because you might not ever hear anything back. And that also doesn't mean anything, because just because you don't have feedback doesn't mean you did a bad job. Like, there are many times where people are like in our top five, and then they choose someone else, and we didn't have time to pin them or anything, so they don't even know how close they were. But just because you didn't hear anything back does not mean that you did a bad job, or that you need to stop acting, or you aren't doing your thing. It just means you got to keep going.
Yeah, that's very true. Confident
in yourself and truly love the craft and truly love what you do. Otherwise, it's going to eat you up and spit you out.
Absolutely. Now, Nasera in the chat says, you know, what would your advice be for catching a slate and self-tape?
Oh my God, I didn't even see that there was a chat. Goodness. Okay. Clubhouse is definitely updated. What was Pure Evil? Okay, sorry. What was the question?
She says,
"Oh, we're catching a slate and self tape."
Yeah.
What would be my advice for catching? What does that mean? Like I said, just to be yourself. Like, you don't say, "Hey, I'm." You don't have to go into a whole spiel, because just something short and quick, just to, you know, show your personality off in like 5 seconds.
Absolutely. And the other question that I want to ask here is, do you, you know, if you're asking for an accent, let's say a New York accent or a Southern accent, do you want the slate to be the same as the audition, or do you want the slate to be that person?
I would rather the slate stick with whatever accent, because you don't want to take anyone out. That's my personal advice. I would keep it. I would say put your slate at the end, not in the beginning.
Right.
Because you don't want your slate to throw them off, because your slate is you being yourself, not necessarily you being the character.
So do you want it as one tape, like you want the audition and the tape at the end is one, or do you want, because some casting people want it separately.
Yeah, it depends. You just got to look at the female instructions, because every office is different. And also each project, like if we're using breakdown versus cast it, like sometimes it matters to have them separately and sometimes it doesn't.
Absolutely. So we're reaching the end of our room. I don't know if anyone wants to ask any more questions. I think Obini in the chat said something. When it comes to having a different hairstyle like braids and a self-tape, which is different than the style color in the headshot, is that counted against the actor?
No. That's what I was just saying earlier.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Especially when it comes to black hair, because as a black woman, like when I'm looking at a black hair, I'm like, okay, I know this hairstyle isn't permanent. So if I see if your headshot and you have box braids, I know you probably don't still have box braids, because they last. Not every casting director is as tapped in when it comes to black hair, but most are getting there, if not, you know, on the way. Like I was saying, it's more drastic things. Like, even if like a little color is different, I think it's fine.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we've come to the end of our hour with you, Irie. You've been so wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. This was great.
Is there a final quote, thought that you want to share with us all?
A final thought would just be...
we've got Holly here. I'm sorry. Holly.
It's okay. I forgive you, Versa. Irie. Okay.
Hi.
I just, on your IMDb, you have casting director, producer, writer, and tastemaker. What is that? Is that like a foodie?
No, it's just like, A tastemaker is just someone that like is in the industry and like likes things before they're cool.
So oh, I like that. Okay.
But it's that.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Are you a chef or something? Why don't you ask me about
I'm like a foodie, so I thought it was like a tastemaker. I'm like, oh, good. There's some things that she likes because I love.
I do. I am a foodie for sure.
Oh, but, good.
But that's not what it meant, and I didn't write that about myself.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Well, that's good. Nice to meet you. Thanks, Versa. Thanks, Zachary.
Thank you, Holly. Devin asks, where does you post for indies? I'm assuming it would be the breakdowns, right?
Yeah, it'd be, for indies, like if it's, a breakdown and, Actors Access. Sometimes Backstage, but haven't used Backstage in a long time.
Yeah, that's crazy. So that's it now. Final thoughts, Iris. Sorry I interrupted you earlier.
No. Final thoughts would just be, honestly, just take care of yourself. Take care of your mental health. Understand that you're not something that I've had to also realize is like you are not what you do. So you're not just an actor or an artist, you're a person. And take care of yourself. Take care of yourself as a person, as an artist, as an individual. And keep your head up because, you know, times are kind of dark right now. Times are tough. But I believe in you.
I love you. That's brilliant. Zachary, what are your final thoughts?
I definitely support the self-care portion, and I'll add on to that. Remember that this is a marathon and not a sprint. You know, if you are serious about your acting career, then know that you're going to spend a lot of time on it and just work towards that end. You know, work on building up your skills, work on building up your training, and just keep going until there's no room for them to say no.
Exactly. And for me, my final thought, I guess, is like just what you were saying, Irie. You can't think when you're performing. You just need to perform. Just do it and lay it out there without thinking it through, because you can see the thinking going on when you're auditioning. So just do it. Just lay it out there and be, as you say, your authentic self. And on that note, I want to say thank you very much to everyone for being here. Irie, I just adore you. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your incredible wisdom with us all. So until next time, we're definitely going to invite you back because you're brilliant. And everyone, have a great week. We're back here next week with Craig. I think we've got another casting director next week, Craig Camboso. So let's enjoy the week. And that's it. Au revoir, as they say. See you next time.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye. Mm-hmm.